So again, it's good to be here with so many bhikkhunis. This is the most bhikkhunis nuns I've seen in my whole life, which is saying something for the lack of women in the Sangha. But certainly that I feel this is a momentum which can't be stopped now. It's quite obvious for me. And I know that very often that people keep quoting to me, especially the monks, they say, well, didn't the Buddha say that if you ordain bhikkhunis, the good Dharma, the sad Dharma, will only last for 500 years? Obviously that was wrong, because the Dharma has lasted for 2,500 years already. But even more than that, my answer to monks who say things like that is, quite frankly, if we don't ordain bhikkhunis, the Dharma in places like Australia, Europe and America is not going to last 10 years. When we have the relationship with the members of the other group, you know, the bhikkhunis, the monks, the bhikkhus, it's important to be able to understand where each one is coming from. And where each one is coming from, sometimes, again, it's the tiredness of the pioneer monks, monks like Ajahn Sumedho, who has done such a huge amount of work starting monasteries in UK and Europe and the United States. And basically, he just wants to retire now. It's very tiring to be out front there all the time. He just wants to have an easy life, like we all want an easy life. So it's up to those people who come behind him. And some of those are also quite tired and don't feel they have the energy and the power actually to physically support the bhikkhuni sangha. But we know they have their emotional support, their moral support. And as far as some of the monks in Asia are concerned, it seems to be that there's a lot of fear in the hierarchy of places like Thailand. And that fear is like the fear of change, the fear of criticism. But having been a monk in Thailand for 9 years, and still being able to speak and listen to Thai fluently, and also having connections with many of the senior monks, both those now in positions of seniority and those who are obviously going to be senior monks in the future, and these are the movers and shakers of Buddhism. And by the shakers in Buddhism, I don't mean those monks in Thailand with Parkinson's disease because they're so old. I mean the real people who have the influence, there's many of them apparently. There's people of much influence there who are young, or rather middle monks, and nearly all of those are very supportive and think that, again, it's a time that the bhikkhunis happen. So that when we are having this dialogue with the bhikkhus, and when you understand where they are coming from, and understanding they have got a moral support, and there's only a few who are adamantly against bhikkhunis, to understand that you have most of the support of the bhikkhu sangha throughout the world, as far as I can see it. However, there's another few other people who are just waiting for someone else to start the ball rolling. Sometimes that's, the timing of these events is most important. If you rush too soon, then you tend to waste a lot of time when there's a reaction comes from the senior leaders of the monastic sangha, the bhikkhu sangha. But the timing is very important, to not rush, but not go too slow, and to find that right time where you can bring most of the people on board. And certainly I feel that time is coming very, very fast. The emotional argument has been won a long time ago, but still that, for example, if I did ordain a bhikkhuni tomorrow, the senior monks I know in Thailand would ask me questions on the vineyard. They say, why did you do that? Did they do their Samaneri training? If not, or their Sikhamana training? If not, why not? It was clearly stated in the teachings for monks that you had to know both the Bhikkhu Patimokkha and the Bhikkhuni Patimokkha before you could leave the monastery and be on your own, before your training was completed. But having taught that bhikkhuni vineyard, because it was not really essential for me at the time, because I never thought there were bhikkhunis, I didn't really study it or teach it in the depth it really required. And so now there has to be a revisiting of that teaching in the monks and monasteries of our world, because we have to learn exactly what those rules entail. And as now I'm finding out more about the bhikkhuni vinaya, you're finding out also some of the impediments I thought there were to the ordination of bhikkhunis aren't there now. Having revisited those rules, then you can have much more understanding and respect for the bhikkhuni tradition. So I think it is incumbent on all the monks now to study those rules, because bhikkhunis are here. And so you can't ignore that anymore. You can't say that there's no more bhikkhunis in the world. and there's going to be more. So we have to understand those rules, as you have to understand the monks' rules. And that way that we can have the respect of our traditions, where we understand the limitations of what a bhikkhu can do, we understand the limitations of what a bhikkhuni can do, then I think that's going to be the start of a respectful attitude towards each other. But it has to be more than just a legalistic understanding of the rules of a bhikkhu and the rules of a bhikkhuni, because also the understanding of the heart of the Dhamma, which is always going to be from the meditation. One of the things which I've been saying for a long time now, that as far as the jit of the mind is concerned, there is no male or female when one goes into deep meditation. And I think when one understands through meditation just the mind, release from the five senses, in that sort of place, you can understand that that's where we do share so much in common. And the mind of a man, the mind of a woman is exactly the same. The bodies are different, but the mind is perfectly the same. And understanding that gives us a place where we can respect one another, see something which is we share in common. And we see a mind which we share in common, and the aspirations as well as the defilements, the beauty and the ugliness of a mind, and then we can actually have a place where we truly respect one another. So we have to go deeper than just the words and go to the feelings inside of a quiet, a peaceful, liberated mind. But most people don't care who is teaching the Dhamma. What they are caring for is the Dhamma which is coming out and what they're hearing. It's not just the Dhamma of words, it's all the Dhamma of your lifestyle, your experience. And if they see any person, male or female, from whatever nationality, even whatever age in the Sangha, if someone gives a very inspiring Dhamma talk, and they know that's coming from their experience rather than from the books, and it's coming from their deep meditation experiences, then you're going to inspire many people, and you're going to win respect for the Bhikkhuni Sangha. So it's not just having an ordination. It's not just starting monasteries, and just living a lifestyle which is similar to the time of the Bhikkhunis 2,500 years ago. But it's also practicing so deeply, understanding so well, that you can inspire people, not just because you're a Bhikkhuni, not because you have many reins, but inspire people because you understand and see the Dhamma. Now that is where the Bhikkhunis will take off throughout the Western world and also in Asia.